Halacha Dalid. The Yeshan Dvarim Shein Avag Lashon Hara. Ketzer. Mi Yoma Leploni Sheyia Kama Shehu Ata. O Sheyoma Shisku Miploni. Eni Rotsa Lehodiya Ma Ira Umehoya. Vachayotzei Bedvarim Ha'ilam. Vachayin HaMasapir Betalas Chavero Lefnei Son Of. Hareza Avag Lashon Hara. Shezeh Goyim Lahem Sheyisapir Begnusa. אבל עניין זה אומר שלום ומבר פעיר בכל גודל, בבוקר השכם כל הפיכה שלה, שמתוך טוב עשו בא לידי רעשו. So, the first half of Halacha Dalid is more easily understood that none of these things constitute Lashon Hara D'oraisa, that Avak Lashon Hara it has the sense of that it's only Darabonim, the same way Avak Ribis is not Ribis D'oraisa, but it's only what Chazal Osir Midarabonim ought to the Isser of Ribis D'oraisa. Either in the first two examples, there's no specificity, right? There's sort of some insinuation that there is something negative that could be said, that there's something negative, you know, that there's some skeleton in the closet. But there's no specificity. And the third one is more of a groma. Adrava, the person is Musapir Betavas Havero. The question is what you do with the second half of the halacha here. V'cheinah Musapir B'loshon Hara, Derech Schok V'Derech Kalos Rosh. Kol Ma She'enu Medaber V'Sinah. Let's say a person is recounting exploits from his youth, and let's say his youth with his friends was a little bit more colorful than it should have been. So he says, you know, that I and my chaver so and so we did A, B, C, and you know he's not saying it in a critical vein. He's saying it derech schot v'kalas rosh, but clearly what he's recounting is a davar shel ganai. That's what we're referring to. Then v'chein hamasaper b'loshon hara derech ramoyus. This is even more pelagic. V'hu sheyasaper l'tumo ki ilu einu yodeya shadavar zeh loshon hara hu. Al chamemachin bo omer einu yodeya shelo masav shofoni o shezeh loshon hara. So, well, an example of what the Rambam is saying about Derech HaMoyus is, let's say, he'll tell you, he'll describe how his friend so ingeniously secured a certain grant. And then someone will say, but what you just described is fraud. He really was defrauding the government in a way. And he'll, again, he knew that all along. And he sort of reacts as saying, oh, I didn't realize that I was, that I was sharing something negative about him. So that's Goya Pella. So these two examples are so troubling. The Chafetz Chaim initially, again, as dochuk as this pshat is, but just as an indication for how challenging it is to understand here, the Chafetz Chaim originally said that the second half of Halacha Dalet is Lashon Hara D'oraisa. Again, it's dochuk ma'od, obviously, because of the V'chei. But then the Chafetz Chaim himself has an asterisk. Once upon a time, once something had been set in print, even if it hadn't gone to the printer yet, it was a big, big asek to undo it. So there were lots of cases where mechabrim were chozer by him, but they had to leave what they originally wrote and then just added a hosafa saying that the chozer by him. Then the Chafetz Chaim, I don't know whether he says that he reminded himself of or that someone showed him. The Rambam in the Parashat Mishnayos, the end of Parak Aleph of Lavas, says mefurish, what's emes is mefurish here as well, the v'chein, is that the second half of Halacha Dalet is also only Lashon Hara, is also only Avak Lashon Hara. So why is that only Lashon Hara D'Rabbanan? The Derech Ra'loyis means he mamash knows that it's Lashon Hara, but the fact that he's posturing as though it were not Lashon Hara, so how in the world is that? And if a person will intentionally eat chazer, and then when you tell him you shouldn't be eating chazer, he'll say, oh no, I thought it was a kosher salami. So that will downgrade it from mezah to shogeg, or downgrade it even more to an issur d'rabbanan. So apparently, the pshat is as follows. We commented back in Halacha Aleph that, again, the Rambam's definition here of the issur of l'selech v'achlos ha-meragel v'chaver, and we said that meragel means to expose, as in meragel matem ki eres ha'advas en leros. It means to expose. And what the Rambam here, the chiddush the Rambam is telling us is that derech schok or derech ramoyos is lacking in that exposure. The fact that the way it's presented is as though it was some, you know, innocent youthful prank in the derech schok, or the way that it's presented, that as though he's only describing this person's ingenuity in securing a grant, when he's really describing a fraud, but that veneer is enough that it's a chesaron in meragel, it's a chesaron in exposing, and that's enough to that it doesn't qualify for the derais of lashon hara. I mean, it's not hard to understand why Chazal asu that midrabbanan otu the derais of lashon hara. That apparently is the pshat here. Halacha Hey. I once saw an excellent Torah. Unfortunately, I forgot the name of the Torah journal in which I saw it. Once saw an excellent Torah in Hilchos Lashon Hara. So what we generally assume, and again, to a degree, correctly, that let's say if two people are talking and one of them recounts something, but without mentioning the name, and again, in a way that the Shomea will not be able to put two and two together, he's not going to be able to figure out, you know, whose actions are being detailed. So then that's not Lashon Hara, right? Reuven says to Shimon about Levi, but he doesn't mention Levi's name, so Shimon has no idea who the Lashon Hara is about. So yeah, so that's not Lashon Hara. So that, okay. What the Ha'or that from this Torah journal is, but then let's say in response, so Reuven will describe how some unnamed person did such and such, but that's going to, commonly, that will elicit a reaction from Shimon. But Reuven knows who Shimon is talking about. Shimon doesn't know who he's talking about, but Reuven knows who Shimon is talking about. So that, l'chor, is Lashon Hara. You hear the Ha'or also? I think it's a correct Ha'or. Meaning, if Shimon will then contribute something to this analysis of what happened, so yes, it's true that what Shimon is hearing from Reuven is not Lashon Hara, because Shimon doesn't know who it's about, and because of that, it's not Lashon Hara. But when Shimon will add and say, you know, and what's more, or maybe even if he just reiterates and reinforces, so Reuven knows who it's about.
I don't think that Shimon responds, so it's all theoretical. Shimon has no clue.
I don't know if it's theory. It's I mean, on one level it's theory, but on one level it's practical. In the sense that Shimon has been told that, I mean, it's in theory. I don't know. Let's say in a psychology class. So you're given a scenario to discuss. So that's theory. You know, if the professor makes up a scenario, and you're analyzing the scenario, so that's theory. But if you're being told that this isn't, you know, just a scenario which was constructed, but this is a real life case, and then you're responding, so it's not theory. You're responding, albeit that you're in the dark as to the identity of the person, but that's not theory at that point. That's, you're saying something about this person. And Bouvet knows who you're talking about, because he knows who it is. So the case of Mishnah says that the mocker for this, so I don't know if you know why the Rambam, the Rambam here is in effect sort of now telling us that there's a new application or instance of Lashon Hara, that even though it's not a davar shel ganai, it's not something which is injurious or harmful by virtue of being disparaging, but it is harmful by virtue of that if word will get around, the person will get in trouble for this. So then that's also Lashon Hara. The Chassid Mishnah says the mocker for that is the famous story. Again, it's the lead-in story to the whole Maisa with Rav Shimon bar Yochai and all the years in the cave, is the story with Yehuda ben Gerim, how the Tanoim were sitting and they were talking about the Roman Empire, and Rav Yehuda praised them. And Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, no, they're corrupt and they're evil, and everything they did, they only did for their own nefarious purposes. They didn't build bridges to make it easier for people to get around. It's because they wanted to collect tolls, etc. So then Yehuda ben Gerim went, and I think Rashi said he told it to his parents. However, Rashi knows that from the Gemara. But then it was ultimately word got out, and because of that, the Roman government were trying to arrest and execute Rav Shimon bar Yochai. So that's the mokan. And we see that Rav Shimon bar Yochai held, from the end of the story, the end of the Gemara, we see that he held Yehuda ben Gerim accountable for what had happened to him. Again, so there, it's not intrinsically a davar shel ganai to repeat what Rav Shimon bar Yochai said. It's not a davar shel ganai, but elamai, it's something which is injurious, which is harmful to the person, because im nishmu ish mipi ish, it can cause him damage.
So if someone asks you if you like a certain pizza store and you don't like the pizza store, you can't respond to your opinion on that?
No, I think you probably can, because that's more like the Chofetz Chaim's examples about a shidduch inquiry. If they're asking, again, if it's if it's an idle inquiry, so then I think you wouldn't answer. But if the person is considering going to the pizza store and wants to know whether you think the pizza is good, so then I think you are allowed to tell them. It could be if the pizza is not good, the french fries might still be good, so you have to be careful not to exaggerate.
In this example, meaning we talked about this day, there was no sinner there. It was only just wasn't trying to get him in trouble.
Yes, so how was this all those days? Because you're asking very well. Because a person is mechuyev to in saying something, a person has an achrayus to see what the consequences, to see what the implications are. So the same way, again, a person doesn't say hinni mucharim zuman to be malicious when he says something which is intrinsically gnosa here too. Yehuda ben Gerim didn't say hinni mucharim zuman to get Rashbi in trouble, But he has an achrayus. A person has an achrayus to be mindful of the consequences or the potential consequences of what he says, and if he doesn't, so that is a hechazdayus that disregard for again in that example for Rashbi is that does belong to those days the case. Vimnevudvam Elvishnashosha Kwanishma Hadova Vinoda. Vim Sipa Hadova Echidvana Shosha Paramacharis Envam Shamashin Hara. So this is the Gemara's famous din of Ba'apei Tzlosa, that the Rambam quotes here. That the Gemara's lashon is what's said Ba'apei Tzlosa is less by Mishum lashon Abisha. The question of what in the world does it mean? That the fact that Lashon Hara was said initially by Ape Tosa, so that, I don't know, that Kashu said or something, and there's no, it's not subsequently Lashon Hara. So, okay, you do, the Chofetz Chaim is Maruch on this, and some of the pshatim in the Rishonim, let's say the Balei HaTosfos, I think it's the Balei HaTosfos, have pshat like this. Let's say a person is saying something which, depending upon how you construe it, it may be the shvach, it may be like nah. I think the example I give, let's say in so-and-so's house, there's always a fire burning. So that can be lignai, sort of talking about how, I don't know, luxuriously they live, and luxuriously, wastefully, etc. And that can be lignai, or it can be the shvach. No, they're such big machnisei orchim, and they extend themselves so much for aniyim that they're cooking around the clock. The 24/6, they're cooking. So if you have something which, you know, contextually could be disparaging or it could be complimentary, so Tosfos, I think it's the Balei HaTosfos, who say that the fact that a person says it so openly, the share of openly is Ba'apei Tzlosa, that's an indication. Usually when people talk Lashon Hara, it's more on the, you know, it's not done so openly. It's done more clandestinely. And the fact that it's done so openly, that implies a favorable context and interpretation. And that's what it means, that what's said by Ape Tosa is less by Mishum Lishna Bisha. But if it were unambiguously a Davish Al Ganai, the fact that the person is saying that the fact that it was originally said by Ape Tosa doesn't give any heta to repeat it. I think Rashi in one place understands that Lashon Abishi here doesn't mean so much Lashon Hara. Let's say someone tells you what his, let's say he's he works in investment, and he tells you what his investment strategy is. So the question is, should you assume that was a confidence that you have to keep? He gets paid for investing, and Yitochin Mo, that he doesn't want to have his investment strategies known. Maybe it would undercut his business. Well, no, maybe that isn't the context in which he said it. So Rashi understands that's what it means. If he said it by Ape Tlasa, so then clearly you don't have to assume that was something that he intended to be in confidence. If something is said to one or two people, so then there's a presumption of confidentiality. But if something is said by Ape Tlosa, so that's already, he said it publicly enough that there's no presumption of confidentiality that you have to worry about breaching a confidence if you repeat it. So Lashon HaBisha in this context doesn't mean so much Lashon Hara, right? It's going to this pshat as the term is being used somewhat more loosely. But Kimeduma, that in the Rambam, you have a new pshat in this Gemara. Kimeduma, that in the Rambam, there's a new pshat in this Gemara. If you see it in... Again, we're so often handicapped by not learning the Rambam the way he intended it. Again, the Rambam intended Mishnah Torah to be learned consecutively, right? Not the way we do. We look in the Ein Mishpat and we find where the citation is and we parachute in the middle and we sort of lack context. And for that matter, sometimes we lack context even not only within a parak, but even within an individual halacha. If you look here in context, the Mashmos in the Rambam is like this. The Rambam here in Halacha Hey was Mechadesh, another instance of Lashon Hara, right? An instance of Lashon Hara, such as the Yehuda ben Gerim story, where what's said is not intrinsically a Darash al Ganai. It's not disparaging to Rashbi to say that Rashbi criticized the Roman Empire, but it's something which is potentially dangerous to Rashbi to do that. What makes it dangerous? If it would become dvarim she'im nishma'u ish mipi ish, right? So by taking this information and putting it out into the public domain, so that is potentially dangerous for Rashbi, and by virtue of that, that harm you're doing Rashbi is lodar from the harm that you do when you damage his reputation by disparaging him, by saying a dovish al ganai. So says the Rambam, that's what the Chazal were talking about. When Chazal said the fact that something was said once by Ape Tlosa means that subsequently less by Mishum Lishon HaBisha, it's not that if someone said by Ape Tlosa that Ruvain's kebab person that he has terrible midas v'chula v'chula, no, there's no heter for any of those three to go repeat it. There's no, it's not, it doesn't become non-Lashon Hara for someone else to say it again. But what happens if what was said by Ape Tlosa, again, was this something which isn't inherently Gnai, but it's rather Dvarim Shem Nishmu Ish Mipi Ish. So here Chazal say, but it's already in the public domain. Because what has been said initially by Ape Tlosa is Avida Ligluye. So someone who's repeating it later, he's not responsible for the fact that this is now in the public domain. So since it's not inherently Shulganai, so it's not Lashon Hara inherently by virtue of the content, it's only Lashon Hara by virtue of Dvarim Shem Nishmu Pish Be'ish. When you have something which is already a Milsa Davide Gluye, so then that's not Lashon Hara. Again, provided Lushalo Yiskavein Lahavi Akol Galosa Yosa. He's not looking to give it momentum. He's not looking to accelerate or contribute to that process. So then what's by virtue of content, again, without looking at consequences, by virtue of content, it's innocent, so then that doesn't qualify as Lashon Hara. But the Rambam would tell us, Chazal never ever said that the type of example of Lashon Hara that the Rambam had given in Halacha Beis of the David Ignushal Chaver, the fact that it was initially said by Ape Tlosa, that doesn't mean that someone else can then repeat it. The question that the Chafetz Chaim talks about this.
I could be wrong, but isn't the case in Shabbos with Rashi where he said
Ape Tlosa? Yes, there were at least three Tanoim there, plus Yehudim and Gerim, just from what the Gemara tells us.
So why would this be
I don't know, that's a very good question. Maybe, I'm not sure. I think the Chafetz Chaim writes that the din of Ba'apei Tlosa wouldn't apply if the person saying it told them, what I'm saying, I want you to hold in the strictest confidence. So now again, that is not explicitly stated in that Gemara, but maybe there was such a presumption or something? But I'm not sure, that's a very good question. And presumably, I mean, that's not. I don't think we would object to that as an ukimta. And presumably, that is understood that if Rashbi is, if you live in a country where criticizing the government is something that you can get killed for, so presumably, when that's said in a somewhat private setting, it's said with an expectation of confidentiality. The question is, by a Dovah Shel Ganai, is it ever so meforsim that it doesn't become Lashon Hara to talk about it? Let's say Mamish, I don't know, hundreds of thousands, millions of people know it. Maybe the person you're talking to, maybe he's such a big masmid that the Baruch Hashem, he doesn't know it, but the rest of the world does know it. I think the Chaim has from the Yad Ketana. The Pashto says that even though we're saying that the Din of Ba'apei Tlosset doesn't apply to Dovah Shel Ganai, at some point, something becomes so Yadua, that the question is exactly what that point is, but you take a look at Chafetz Chaim. I think he has it in a couple of places from the Sefer Yad Ketana about this question. Okay, we'll stop here.